السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
A short while back, I mentioned in one of the Friday sermons that this year is the year of elections for the Jamaat office holders. In many places, the elections have already taken place, both at national and local level, and the new office holders have taken charge of their respective duties. In some places, new national presidents, local presidents, and other office holders have been elected. However, in many places, those who were working from before have been re-elected. Those who have been newly elected should be thankful to God Almighty, for He has selected them to serve the Jamaat. And also, they should seek help from God Almighty while turning to Him with complete humility in order to effectively fulfill the responsibility they have been charged with. Similarly, those office holders who have been re-elected, they should also be thankful to God Almighty for again being given the opportunity by God Almighty to serve the Jamaat. Also, they should pray with humility that in the previous years, if there was any lapse, indolence, and oversight shown from them, and as a result they were not able to fulfill the dues of their responsibility properly, then may God Almighty overlook those. And they should also pray that may He bestow His grace upon them and enable them to duly fulfill the responsibilities placed upon them for the next 3 years and not show the same lapse, indolence, and oversight while discharging these responsibilities. And may Allah the Almighty enable them to fulfill the responsibilities. It should always be kept in mind that one should not consider serving the Jamaat as an ordinary service, and nor should it be taken lightly. Each and every one of us, whether it is an office holder or a normal Ahmadi, each one has made a pledge to give precedence to faith over worldly affairs. And so, when a person who serves faith or is an office holder accepts a responsibility to serve faith or is appointed for it, then such a person has an even greater responsibility than others to fulfill his or her pledge. And one should always bear in mind that this pledge has been made to God Almighty, and He has mentioned the fulfilling of one's pledges in numerous places in the Holy Quran. Thus, it should always be remembered that God Almighty has very clearly stated that those who accept the responsibilities which they have been entrusted with, they become a pledge for them, and one should fulfill his or her responsibilities and promises. In one place of the Holy Quran, God Almighty has mentioned the following trait of those who are truthful and tread on the path of righteousness. Meaning, and those who fulfill their promise when they have made one. Thus, this should be a basic quality, especially of those who undertake a responsibility of the Jamaat, that they should fulfill it by always upholding the truth and also raising their standards of taqwa, i.e. righteousness. If they show even a slight weakness in the standards of their truth, and their standards of taqwa, i.e. righteousness, are not a model for the general members of the Jamaat, then such a person is not paying focus towards fulfilling one's pledge, and also towards their responsibility and the trust placed in them. Therefore, the national presidents and local presidents should be the first to present their own models before their amla, i.e. their administrative team, and also to the rest of the members of the Jamaat. The Secretary of Tarbiyat, i.e. for training and reformation, have the responsibility of Tarbiyat, and the work of Tarbiyat can only be done when those working in this department and who counsel others present their own examples and they act accordingly to it. Thus, the Tarbiyat secretaries should present their own good examples before the members of the Jamaat, because the responsibility of Tarbiyat falls upon them. I have mentioned this on several occasions, that if the Tarbiyat department becomes active, then the work of the other departments automatically begins to happen. The higher the level of Tarbiyat of the members of the Jamaat, the easier the task becomes for the other departments. For instance, the work of Secretary Mal, i.e. Finance, Secretary Amur-e-Amma, i.e. General Affairs, and Secretary Tabligh, i.e. for Propagation, and other departments like Qaza, which is the Jurisprudential Affairs. I always say in the Amla meetings held in various places that the work of Tarbiyat should begin from one's home. And this is not just the home of the Secretary Tarbiyat, In fact, it should be every member of the Amla's home. And the Majlis-e-Amla need to do their own tarbiyat more than anyone else. Whenever a new program is devised for the Jamaat, the national president, the local president, and the secretary tarbiyat should first assess whether their own Amla members are adhering to it and following that program. And they should also assess whether the Amla members are adhering to the basic commandments of God Almighty and fulfilling the purpose of man's creation. If that is not the case, then there is no taqwa. Among the rights owed to God Almighty, the biggest of them is to worship Him. For this, men are instructed to offer salat, and salat is to be offered in congregation. Therefore, national presidents, local presidents, and office holders should safeguard their prayers by striving to offer it in congregation. And so, in this way, not only will the mosques and prayer centers be filled, but at the same time, they will also be able to attain the blessings of God Almighty. And through their practical example, they will be able to do the tarbiyat of their Jamaat. They will become the recipients of God Almighty's grace, and it will also create ease in their works. And they will not be just simply limited to talk. Thus, those who serve the Jamaat should first carry out their own assessment to see whether or not there is inconsistency in what they say and how they act. In this regard, God Almighty states, that, O ye who believe, why do you say what you do not? The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam in regards to this states, it is evident from this verse that those who do not act according to what they say themselves have, do and will continue to exist in the world. The promised Messiah further states, pay heed to my words and remember them well, that until one does not speak from the heart and does not make a practical effort with it, then such words bear no effect. He further states, remember that mere words and lip service cannot be of any benefit until one does not make a practical effort towards it. And such words have no value in the sight of God. If there are any words which are not followed by action, they have no importance. Thus, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam has very clearly elaborated on this commandment of God Almighty, that there should be no inconsistency between our actions and our speech. Therefore, the office holders should keep this point in mind above all while assessing themselves. In those areas where the houses are at a long distance or there are only a few houses in that area and there is no mosque or prayer center, however, arrangement for prayer can be made in people's homes, and this is not something that is difficult. There are many Ahmadis who do not even have any official Jamaat role and nor are they members of any Amla. However, they have offered their homes for the local Ahmadis to gather together and offer congregational prayer. Thus, if one has the awareness of it, then everything is possible. Every office holder of ours should have this awareness of offering prayer in congregation. Otherwise, they will not be able to fulfill the dues of their responsibilities, which the Holy Quran has repeatedly drawn attention towards. Thus, every office holder should be mindful of the fact that the trait of a true believer which God Almighty has stated is that they take care of their promises and the pledges that they have made. And whether or not they are showing any slackness or weakness in discharging the responsibilities entrusted upon them. And also the pledge that they have made to serve the Jamaat, as this is not an ordinary matter, because God Almighty in the Holy Quran states, that for the covenant shall be questioned about. Worship is the most basic thing, and that is the purpose of our creation. Therefore, we have to fulfill its dues, and the office holders should especially not show any slackness in this regard at all. In fact, it should not be shown by any true believer. However, apart from this, there are a few other things which the office holders should take care of, and these relate to the rights of others, the conduct of the office holders with other Jamaat members, and they also relate to the pledges made by the office holders. No one is appointed to serve the Jamaat owing to their desire to hold an office. In fact, the concept of an office holder in Islam is completely different. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained this in the following way, that the leader of the people is their servant. Therefore, for an office holder to fulfill the dues of his responsibility in relation to other people is done by becoming their servant. And this can only happen when one has the spirit of sacrifice and has humility, and his or her level of patience is far greater than everyone else. At times, office holders have to listen to harsh words said to them. In such an instance, they should listen to it. However, only the office holders themselves can assess how high their level of patience is. And also how much humility they have. At times, certain cases of office holders are brought to attention in which they have shown no patience. And if the other person involved is being discourteous, they also retaliate. If a normal person becomes rude and offensive, it would make no difference to him, as his morals will speak for themselves, that such a person is very ill-mannered. However, if an office holder utters anything wrong from his mouth, then it will not only affect his own status and dignity, but it will also have an impact on the members of the Jamaat. The standard which the Jamaat should be at, and the standard which the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to see from us, if there is any such example like this, then it can and does bring the Jamaat's honor into disrepute. And there are such cases where arguments start in the mosque, and it has an extremely adverse effect on the children and also upon the youth. What does God Almighty expect from us And how good Almighty has described those who establish high standards of sacrifice. At one place, Allah the Almighty states, that is, believers are such that they give preference to their brothers in faith over themselves. The Ansar, i.e. the Muslim inhabitants of Medina at the time of the Holy Prophet, established this example for the Muhajireen, i.e. the Muslim immigrants who migrated to Medina at the time of the Holy Prophet. And this is the example for us. Giving precedence over oneself is no small matter. Sometimes the due rights of others are not even fulfilled. Certain affairs of others are brought to the attention of office holders, or these matters are sent to them so they can send a report to the headquarters. And when the reports are sent, it is found that these reports have been submitted very carelessly, and the report is sent without properly investigating the matter. Or the matter is delayed so much that if there is a request to fulfill the need of someone, then due to the delay that person suffers a loss or he has to endure hardship. Some office holders present their busy schedule as an excuse. Some office holders have no excuse whatsoever, and it is only due to negligence. If these were their own affairs, or matters of those close to them, then priorities would be different. Therefore, true passion to serve others, and the passion to offer sacrifice, and to fulfill one's trust sincerely, would be that one should be of benefit to others with similar concern. When this spirit of sacrifice is established, and one serves while considering the hardship of others as his own, then the level of offering sacrifice in the Jamaat will increase. The attention will be towards fulfilling each other's rights instead of usurping each other's rights. We say to others that world peace will be established when passion to offer sacrifice is procured instead of claiming one's rights and usurping rights of others on every level. However, if we are not on this level, then we will be doing something which Allah the Almighty dislikes. An attribute which the office holder should have in particular is humility. Allah the Almighty has mentioned a quality of the servants of the gracious God. That is, they walk on earth with humility. Therefore, an excellent example of this attribute should be present in our office holders. The greater the office of a person, the greater the humility should be exhibited while meeting others with passion of serving others. And this, in fact, is true greatness. People observe and feel the attitude of office holders. Sometimes people write to me that a certain office holder had such and such attitude. However, I am very happy today because that office holder not only said salam to me, rather he also asked me how I was doing, and he presented himself in a good manner. And that he was happy to observe this, and this showed his greatness. Therefore, the majority of the Jamaat members is such that due to the loving, gentle and affectionate treatment of the office holders towards them, they are happy and ready to offer every kind of sacrifice.
Pyar, narmi aur shafqat ke sulook se hi
If there is any type of superiority or arrogance developed in the heart of an office holder due to his office, then such a person should remember that such things take one away from Allah the Almighty. And when a person becomes distant from Allah the Almighty, then there is no blessing in his work. And religious work is purely for the sake of Allah the Almighty's pleasure. And so, when there is no pleasure of Allah the Almighty, then such a person becomes a cause of loss for the Jamaat instead of providing benefit. Therefore, office holders should always assess themselves if they are humble or not. If they are humble, then to what extent? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the more humility and meekness a person adopts, the higher the status he is granted by Allah the Almighty. Hence, every office holder should keep in mind that if Allah the Almighty has granted him or her the opportunity to serve the Jamaat, then this is a favor of Allah the Almighty. And one can be truly thankful to Allah the Almighty by developing further humility and meekness. If this humility and meekness is not developed within a person, then it is not being grateful for the favor of Allah the Almighty. Generally, it has been noticed that when certain people meet under normal circumstances, they express great humility. They meet people in a very good manner. However, when they have a disagreement with their subordinate or an ordinary person, it immediately provokes their authoritative nature and the vanity of being a superior office holder leads to the expression of haughty behavior towards their subordinate. Hence, it is not humility when a person acts humble with someone who is always agreeing and there is no disagreement. Such humility is in fact artificial. The actual reality is manifested when there is a disagreement or when a subordinate says something contrary to the office holder. In such an instance, if the office holder makes a decision while observing justice and takes that opinion into consideration, then such humility also reflects one's great level of courage. When this will happen, this humility will be known as true and real humility. An office holder should always remember the following commandment of Allah the Almighty. That is, and turn not thy cheek away from men in pride, nor walk in the earth haughtily. I mentioned about disagreements. So in this regard, I would like to say that despite the fact that the rules and regulations allow the national president of the Jamaat to reject the opinion of the Amla and make a decision according to his own opinions, but this right should not always be exercised. However, there should always be an effort to keep everyone on board, and decisions should be made and work is done by mutual discussion and majority opinion. In some places, the national presidents use this right unnecessarily. This right should be practiced in extreme situations when it is known that it will benefit the Jamaat, and that should also be clarified to the Amla. This should be practiced while keeping in mind the broader benefits of the Jamaat. For this reason, one should seek Allah the Almighty's help through prayers. One should not only rely on his own intellect. It should also be clear that this right is neither to be practiced by the local presidents of the Jamaat, and nor do they have this right where national presidents are present. They do not have the right to reject the opinion of the Amla and take a decision based upon their own opinion. It is integral for the office holders to read and understand the rules and regulations in order to understand their jurisdiction. If they will act according to the rules and regulations, then some minor issues which become a cause of restlessness in the Amla and amongst members of the Jamaat will not happen. There should also be an attribute of office holders that they should treat their subordinates kindly. Most of the work in the Jamaat is done through voluntary work. Members of the Jamaat give time to do Jamaat work. They give their time in order to obtain the pleasure of God the Almighty. And also because they have a relation with the Jamaat and they have great love for the Jamaat. Hence, the office holders should be aware of the emotions of their workers and they should treat their workers in a good manner. And this, in fact, is the commandment of Allah the Almighty. With this good treatment, one should strive to teach their associates and subordinates so that the workers are always available to continue the Jamaat work in a good manner. Jamaat work is carried out by Allah the Almighty Himself. There is no doubt in this whatsoever. However, if the office in charge and the office holders who have experience produce another line of workers, then they will also get the reward for this work. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, neither I nor previous Khulafa have worried about how the Jamaat work will continue. This is Allah the Almighty's promise to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, that he will continuously provide sincere people who will carry out this work, inshallah. During the time of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III, an office holder thought that the financial system of the Jamaat was running excellently due to his wisdom and hard work. When Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III found out, he replaced this person with someone who did not know even the basics of finance. However, since this is Allah the Almighty's work, and it is Allah the Almighty's treatment with the Khalifa of the time, that for this reason the work of the newly appointed officer, who did not know anything, that he was so blessed that it was unimaginable before his appointment. Hence, Allah the Almighty grants the office holders and the workers and the life devotees an opportunity to become the recipients of Allah the Almighty's bounties by serving the Jamaat and by serving faith. Otherwise, Allah the Almighty is doing all this work Himself. It is His promise. Therefore, for this reason, no one should think that the work is being done due to someone's experience and due to their knowledge, or that their experience and knowledge can run the Jamaat work. The work of the Jamaat is being carried out by the grace of Allah the Almighty. Many of our weaknesses and shortcomings are such that if it was a worldly affair, then it cannot be blessed in such a manner, and the results cannot be fruitful. However, Allah the Almighty covers our faults and provides assistance Himself through His angels.
پردہ پوشی فرماتا ہے اور خود فرشتوں کے ذریعے سے مدد فرماتا ہے.
For instance, if we take the tabligh related matters, Allah the Almighty has provided such young workers in Western countries who are born and raised here, and they have studied religion on their own. They give such replies to the opponents of Islam that it makes them dumbfounded, and one is astonished by their answers. And the opponents have no option but to run away from such replies by these young people. Therefore, office holders should consider the opportunity to serve the Jamaat as God's grace and not as a result of their own experience or their merit or their ability. Then another quality of the office holders is that to be happy and treat others with good morals. Allah the Almighty says, that is, treat others with kindness and good morals and speak to them kindly. Therefore, this is a basic virtue which should be present in the office holders significantly. When they converse with their subordinates or their co-workers, and similarly, when they speak to other people, then they should be mindful of the fact that their good morals should be on at display. At times, due to administrative reasons, one has to speak firmly. But even then, this has to be practiced as a last resort. If someone is advised with love, and the office holders can make people realize that we are sympathetic towards you, then 99% of such people understand and they are also ready to cooperate with the Jamaat. And that is because they have a relation with the Jamaat. However, the main and important condition is that the realization should be developed in the people that office holders are sympathetic towards them. Speak to people with tenderness and do not hold someone accountable on their mistake in such a manner that they are not able to explain themselves properly. Those who are habitual and those who try to create disorder over little things, they should be treated strictly. But full investigation should be done before that.
فساد پیدا کرنے کی کوشش کرتے ہیں, ان کے ساتھ سختی بھی کرنی پڑتی ہے, لیکن اس کے لیے
اینڈ دس اسٹرکٹنس شوڈ ناٹ بی ایز اے ریزلٹ آف پرسنل سٹبنس, رادر اٹ شوڈ بی کیریڈ آؤٹ فار ریفارمیشن.
ساتھ ہی یہ سختی بھی ذاتی انات کی شکل اختیار کرنے والی نہیں ہونی چاہیے.
ایٹ ون پلیس دی ہولی پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ایڈوائزڈ دی گارڈینز آف یمن ہوم ہی ہیڈ اپوائنٹڈ دیٹ پرووائڈ ایز فار دی پیپل not difficulty, and spread love and happiness, and do not let hatred flourish. This is such an advice that beautifies relationships between office holders and the members of the Jamaat. And as a result of this, the spirit of being mindful of each other's emotions is developed amongst the members of the Jamaat. Therefore, the office holders have a great responsibility, and particularly the presidents, national and local, and the departments of tarbiyat, and the decision-making councils, that they should come up with ways to create ease for the people. However, it should be kept in mind that such methods should be formulated while staying within the commandments of Allah the Almighty. He should not be like the worldly people who forget the commandments of Allah the Almighty for the sake of establishing comfort. We have to fulfill the rights of the people and protect our office and trusts while staying within the limitations of Sharia and keeping the pleasure of God Almighty at the forefront. Then, as I have stated, that every office holder should have a look at the book of rules and regulations, and they should gain knowledge of their department-related duties. Everyone should be aware of his or her limitations. Sometimes office holders are not aware of their boundaries or their limitations. A department is doing something, while in the book of rules and regulations that work is listed under another department. Or at times, there is such a minute distinction between duties which causes two departments to interfere with each other's jurisdiction because there is a lack of attention. A few days ago, I had a meeting with the UK's Majlis-e-Amila, and I realized that unnecessary debates occur because there is a lack of understanding of this minute difference. If rules and regulations are read, then time will not be wasted in this manner. For example, the Tabligh department has to do Tabligh, i.e. propagation of the message of Islam, and increase contacts. And Tabligh will spread with increased contacts. Similarly, there is a department of Umur-e Kharija, i.e. external affairs. This department has to do outreach and introduce the Jamaat. The circle of limitation for both departments is separate. One department has to do it for the purpose of Tabligh, and the other department has to do it for public relations and to further develop relations. However, the main purpose is the introduction of the Jamaat and the guidance towards faith, so that the world can be called towards God the Almighty, and that their current life and the hereafter can be adorned, and that attention can be directed towards achieving world peace. Our purpose is not to take credit from a worldly perspective. The real purpose is to make God the Almighty happy and to obtain His pleasure. If departments work with cooperation with one another, then the result can be much better. Then, from the practices that can be seen from many places, is that the budget for various departments is not formulated properly. Each department should present the budget which is approved in the Shura, and each relevant secretary should be given the right to spend it. Indeed, it is the role of the secretary to devise a yearly plan for the department and present it before the Amila. Then the expenditure should be done in accordance with the approved plan, and the progress should be monitored in each Amila meeting. If, however, there is a need to change the pre-approved plan or there is room for improvement, or if someone suggests any improvements, then it can be revised again. Similarly, another important aspect of the jobs of the national heads or presidents or local secretaries is the immediate and careful implementation of the guidelines and circulars issued by the Merkaz, i.e. the headquarters, in their respective localities. Complaints have been received from some Jamaat that the guidelines received from the center are not acted upon seriously. If a certain country or certain locality has some reservations about a specific directive in light of the conditions in their country, then they should contact the center at once and seek permission for changes to take place with immediate effect. And this responsibility lies with the Amir Jamaat or the Sadr. However, it does not behove them to use their own initiative, and by dismissing the instructions given, they discard them altogether. And nor do they inform the center about it. Any action of this nature by a national president or a sadr, i.e. a president, will be deemed as violation of the instructions issued by the center, and as a result, the center can take action. I would also like to speak about the Musiyan. Firstly, they should pay their chanda regularly, and keeping a track of their payments is the responsibility of each individual Musi. However, at the same time, it is the duty of the Central Department for Musiyan and the relevant secretaries to keep the record of each Musi up to date, and when appropriate, they should give them an update as to the situation of their chanda record. It is the job of the National Jamaat to ensure that the secretaries of the local Jamaat are active and are in contact with every Musi. Often in reports, it is suggested that an individual has not paid his chanda wasiyat for a certain period. When it is asked that if the wasiyat chanda was not given, so how is that individual's wasiyat still active? Upon investigation, it is discovered that it is not the fault of the individual. In fact, the chanda was paid, but workers in the office did not record it properly. A report of this nature can be a cause of concern for the Musi for no reason, and at the same time, it highlights the weakness of the system. Now there is a strong system in place to record systematically and the use of computers. Therefore, mistakes like this should not occur. Every country's secretary of Wasiyat and Mal, i.e. finance, should ensure that their respective subordinate secretaries are actively working. It is also the duty of the Umara, i.e. the national presidents, to review this from time to time. Simply collecting chanda and reporting about it is not their sole responsibility. In fact, making the system reliable and ensuring a strong connection between the local Jamaat and the center is forged is also the duty of the Umara, i.e. the national presidents. Similarly, I would also like to say something with regards to the missionaries. In some areas, there are no regular meetings between the missionaries. The missionary in charge is responsible for ensuring that these meetings are held regularly. There should also be a review in the Jamaat's Tablighi and Tarbiyati programs. If someone has done something good, then there should be an exchange of views, and other people should also try to derive benefit from those better methods. Likewise, the secretaries of the Jamaat who send guidelines to the localities or send instructions they receive from the center to the Jamaat, they should also be noted down in the report. Missionaries in each Jamaat should take note of how much work has been done on this matter. And wherever the secretaries are dormant, especially in the departments of Tabligh, Tarbiyat and Mal, i.e. finance, the missionaries should remind them. Now that God Almighty has given them the opportunity to serve for the next 3 years, may Allah the Almighty enable all the office bearers to fulfill their duties to the best of their abilities. And with every word and action, may they become role models for the Jamaat. After the Friday prayer, I will lead a funeral prayer in absentia of Sahibzadi Tahira Siddiqa Sahiba, who was the wife of Sahibzada Mirza Munir Ahmed Sahib. She passed away on the 13th July 2016 at 6 o'clock in the evening. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She was the daughter of Nawab Abdullah Khan Sahib and Nawab Amatul Hafiz Begum Sahiba, and she was the paternal granddaughter of Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan Sahib and the maternal granddaughter of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. She was Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib's daughter-in-law, and by the grace of Allah the Almighty, she was a Musia and passed away at the age of 95. Her initial schooling was done in Qadian, where she received her matriculation certificate. Hazrat Ammajan, may Allah be pleased with her, treated her like her daughter and had a very special bond of love and affection for her. She resided in Jhelum with Sahibzada Mirza Munir Ahmed Sahib, where Sahibzada Mirza Munir Ahmed Sahib owned a chipboard factory, which was burnt down a few months ago. She had the opportunity to serve as Sadr Lajna, and during the disturbances of 1974, a vast number of the Jhelum Jamaat took shelter in the chipboard factory. And during that time, the deceased set an excellent example of hospitality. She had one daughter, Ammatul Haseeb Begum Sahiba, who is the wife of Mirza Anas Ahmed Sahib, who is the son of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Asad, and one son, Mirza Nasir Ahmed Sahib, who has served as the Amir of Jhelum. He was still serving until the factory was burnt down, at which point he had to leave Jhelum. She also had another son, Mirza Safir Ahmed Sahib, who is the son-in-law of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV. The deceased was pleasant-natured, cheerful and friendly. She was very patient, thankful, and would pray fervently. She was regular in her tahajjud prayers and had a passion for worship. She had a very strong connection with Khilafat. She would readily partake in financial schemes. She was known for being very hospitable. She was a woman who had a lot of pride and honor for the Jamaat organization and structure. She would not tolerate anything which went against the institution of Khilafat. If someone said something against the Jamaat system or against Khilafat, she would stop them immediately. As I mentioned before, Hazrat Ammajan used to consider her as her own daughter and prepared a lot of paraphernalia for her marriage and even gave her own personal possessions, some which even bore the name of Hazrat Ammajan. May God Almighty grant the deceased a lofty station in paradise. May He shower His forgiveness and mercy on her. May He give her children the opportunity to continue in her good deeds and always stay firmly attached to Khilafat.
Alhamdulillah, na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.